This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This podcast is an unscripted, unedited conversation about true crime. We take the cases very seriously, but I don't take myself seriously at all, and neither should you. Welcome to Wife of Crime.
So, Russ, the case I'm telling you today hit really close to home for me, because it's about a mountain biker who dies during a ride. This case has so many theories swirling around it, but something that is really insane is that the prime suspect in this case is also a suspect in the Delphi murders. This is the case of Tim Watkins. Everyone, welcome back to Wife of Crime, true crime podcast where I tell my husband true crime stories and he reacts to them.
What's up, folks? It's your boy Russ, aka Zac Efron ain't got shit on me, aka Mr. OnlyFans in the building.
Oh my god. By the way, everybody, I told you on my IG story, for those of you who follow us on Instagram, I told you, if you keep telling Russ how hot he is, he's just going to get a bigger head than he already has. And he has a big ass head.
I think it's not...
He's got a Jimmy Neutron head.
It's not that big. I just need a haircut. When I have a haircut, I feel like it gives me a facelift.
So not only did you get comment on YouTube and a review telling you to start OnlyFans, and now I've been hearing about it all week.
Yo, first of all, let me say this. If I don't have to go to work no more, I'll be buck-ass naked.
Buck-ass naked. But what's funny how you say naked.
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 I'll be buck...
You say it like a southern person, which cracks me up. Naked.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll start doing my sit-ups right now.
Well, yeah, you guys are creating a monster. That's all I have to say. Well, I don't know if any of you saw my TikTok. If you don't follow us on TikTok, go over there and follow us. Our link is in the link tree on all of our socials. We're at TikTok at Wife of Crime Pod, but I made one maybe a week ago now about a girl who was talking to this dude online. They'd been talking for months. They finally went out on a date. She went back to his apartment, and then he held her captive. And the only thing that got her out of that situation is that he allowed her to order food on Grubhub, and she put in the comments on the Grubhub, she put, you know, I need police, bring police with the food. It was all jumbled because she was probably super nervous. And the restaurant in Yonkers, the
Y.O.
Chipper Truck Cafe, shout out to them, they called cops. And isn't that amazing? Rescued her.
That's
she
dope.
Was raped multiple times. Like, this poor girl, she went through so much, but thank God she thought to do that.
That was quick thinking on her part.
It really was.
Because me, I probably tried to fight back and just got killed or something.
No,
but
it was
sometimes
really
you can finesse the situation, which is cool. I wonder how the guy abducted her. I think like they through like internet.
Well, he didn't abduct her necessarily. It's once she got back to his apartment. They've been talking online for months, and then they went out on a date. She went back to his apartment with him, and then he just wouldn't let her leave.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, quick, that's some good quick thinking, but that also made me think, if you were ordering a last meal, what would it be?
Ordering a last meal?
Yeah, because like that made me think of like, it's your last meal, Say, what if they just dropped off the food at the door and walked away?
Or if you're like in jail and it's your last meal.
Same thing.
What would yours be?
Pizza.
Pizza?
Yeah, I'd see some pizza.
You're such a New Yorker.
Yeah, or I like lasagna.
Well, I make the best lasagna.
So what would you order?
Mine would probably be, I'd probably say...
Well, this is so funny because this is woman being indecisive about food. What would happen is she's like, I don't know. And that would be it, guys. Forget it. You're never going to know because she doesn't know.
I think I'd probably do a Maryland crab cake. That would be top of my list because I don't get to eat it often.
So you'd want to be annoyed by cracking crabs open?
No, a Maryland crab cake, Russ. Oh, not the cake. Crabs. Yeah, crab cakes are the best from there. I think I would do that.
Oh, so I saw a headline, which I thought was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I don't really know if it's a headline, but it does say on the internet, which is always true.
Uh-huh.
Woman 37 stabs husband multiple times after finding explicit photos of another woman that turned out to be her when she was thinner.
No, that is not true.
Bro, it's a meme. I see it right here. She's in handcuffs meme. And she's a little thickums.
It is a meme. It's a meme. You can't say that that's true. Anyway, all right, well.
I have one more.
Okay.
So this week, everyone's talking about like this new legislation. This isn't political, but everyone's talking about Roe v. Wade this week.
Yeah, we don't get political on this podcast.
No, this has nothing to do with political. This has to do with what I thought.
Okay.
So I always thought that Roe v. Wade was a person until this week. Like, the first name was Roe v. and the last name was Wade. I didn't know that was Roe v. versus... Wait, why
no,
did you say
it's
verse?
Roe v as v period as in verse Wade because it's a court case.
No, I thought, but why didn't they put vs like verse like versus?
That's
like,
not how they do it.
Like when in court locks cases. Locks verse Dipset on verses.
They don't do it like that. They just say Roe v period Wade.
Yeah, so that's all. I was enlightened. I didn't know. I always thought it was Roe v. Like it was Roe v. Wade, and she probably had like an abortion or something.
You thought her full name was Roe v. Wade?
Yeah.
Like Roe v. Wade, last name Wade.
Yeah. I swear, I really did.
No, it's not. The Supreme Court has multiple cases with V because it's so-and-so versus so-and-so. So that's really funny that you
thought. All right. Well, that's what I thought. Okay, so I'm going to shout out this week's patrons.
Okay.
What goes on in Patreon, Jess?
We have monthly True Crime and Chill episodes. So once a month, me and Russ watch a documentary and talk about it. And then we also do some bonus episodes, and we have ad-free episodes if you don't want to hear all of our ads on our regular feed.
And you can get a refrigerator button.
Oh, yeah, and a magnet.
For your refrigerator.
AKA refrigerator button.
Or a cup, or just a show notes. There's like different levels and stuff. So just go check that out. There's more than 30 episodes over there to listen to now of us talking shit.
Yep.
All right. So this week's patrons are Beth, April, Brett, Karen, Jen Quillen, the villain, Allison, Aaron, Tracy, Denise, Dana, Anna, Andrea, Yamalette, Jessica, Rodney, Kelly, Kristen, Taylor, Myra, Jessica, Christy, Esther So Extra, Kelsey, Allie, Jacoba, Amanda, Frida, Shell, Brianna, J Maximo, Lorna, and Katie. So cheers to all you guys.
I love how you say Esther. Say
Esther.
Esther. Esther So Extra. I didn't know that you said Esther like that. Esther.
Well, most Esther. Of the time in New York, we don't use ER. ER in New York, hooked on phonics, is ER is A.
I know that.
So Esther.
I just didn't expect you to say Esther.
Esther.
I don't know why.
She's so extra.
She's so extra. All right. Now you have the review of the week.
Yeah, I'm like kind of prepared. Wait, where is it?
You were prepared.
I take screenshots. Oh, so this is from EMR Froggy. It says, what these bitches want. Now, what do you think that's about? Here we go. It says, any podcast that combines DMX and true crime, aside from his own crimes, is the one for me. As a Brooklyn girl, it is so nice to hear a fellow New Yorker talking true crime. You two are hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome. R.I.P. DMX.
Yeah, because every time I read the names, I always, in my head, do the first part of the what these bitches want. I'm like, dun, 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 dun. And then, about three Kims, LaToya, Tina. So, like, I'm always thinking that.
Every time. Yeah, you talked about it on a previous episode.
I mean, a couple times, but I can't keep repeating myself because then I'm like your grandma that tells you the same stories over and over.
It's true.
Yep. And my nanny used to do that all the time, but you know what?
What?
I would pretend I never heard it every damn time.
Aw, that's nice. Even old when I was young. Old people do that. They do. Old people do that.
And I'm starting to do it.
You are. You are. I wonder, you know what I thought about the other day? Because we get messages all the time that people binge us. And, you know, you and I, we barely listen to old episodes. I feel like I haven't listened to an older episode of ours in forever. I don't even know if I go back and listen to a lot. But when people binge us, I wonder how many stories we've repeated over time.
I feel like I've been pretty good. And one thing I'm proud of is I haven't read the same review of the week.
Yeah, that's good.
So I've been doing pretty good. And yeah, I repeat stories, so whatever. And I just repeated that about repeating stories, so there it goes. And but you know what I do now? I tell people, I say, if like, have I told you this story before?
Yeah.
And
that's a good way to do it.
So yeah, like, did I tell you about the guy that, you know, licked his shoes on the subway? Or the guy, like, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I actually do that, too. I find myself doing that, too. All right.
Except to me, you'll tell me the same damn thing over and over and over.
Oh, well, you have to live with like, me, so who
cares? Are you going to do the dishes? Are you going to do the dishes? Like, no, they're not bothering me.
Well, this week's story is actually going to hit very close to home for you. So as I was researching it, it felt really close to home for me as well.
Why? Because this guy hates Zac Efron, too?
No. No.
Jess's favorite actor of all time.
I'm never
and boyfriend.
Gonna you're never gonna let this go. Okay. So for new listeners or people that just don't know this, Russ is a mountain biker. Like, not a ride in the woods. I am doing air quotes, ride in the woods type of guy. Like an actual mountain biker. He has a group of guys that he rides with, and they go on these crazy hard trails, these technical trails. They'll go to Hunter Mountain and go full on, full speed, downhill mountain biking with a full face helmet on. It always scares me. I'm like so worried about him when he goes there.
You know why I'm not worried?
Why?
Because if I get hurt, I don't have to go to work. So, like, it's like a win fucking win.
Shut up, last week,
someone said I cursed a lot. I did. I was really drunk last week.
Yeah.
This week, I'm only a few drinks in. By the end of the episode, the F-bombs may go.
Yeah, you did curse a lot on the last episode.
Yeah, I didn't fucking realize it.
Da-dum ching. Okay, anyway. You actually went mountain biking this morning.
Yeah.
You just got back from
brand new bike on deck. New bike day is the best.
Yeah. So you have a new bike and you're super excited. You know, this has become something over the last 10 years that I'd say you've grown pretty passionate about. Like just being an observer of your life. I've noticed that in the last, we've been together 12 years, but probably more over the last 10 years, it's something that you've become really passionate about. So where would you rank your level of expertise with mountain biking?
I mean, kind of like everything else, like a professional.
You're not a novice, but would you call yourself an expert mountain biker?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not X Games. I'm not backflipping, but I'm like jumping off stuff and
You know the actual art of mountain biking. Like you can explain things. So throughout the story, I'm going to need your help because this case is about a mountain biker.
I could explain things in my head, but they don't come to words good sometimes.
That's fine. Well,
I'm like, you know, the thing. They're well, like, but what? How do you explain it? You know, it's the thing that does that. The thing you needed to do.
It's all right. Well, I'm sure you can help us throughout this episode. I've tried mountain biking a few times. I wish I wasn't horrible at it, but I have a lot of fear. And one thing about mountain bikers is they are seriously fearless people. Mountain bike culture is like a thing. It's a full-on culture. So that's why when I found a case about a mountain biker getting murdered, It was actually a tough read for me. I'm not going to lie. It was a tough case for me because there are aspects of this case, the case of Tim Watkins, that reminds me of you and your friends. And this case has not gotten a lot of attention in true crime, in the true crime community. As far as I've seen, only the podcast True Crime Garage is the only other podcast that has covered this case. It's actually been covered a lot in outdoors magazines, and the mountain bike community has covered this a lot, but the true crime community hasn't. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to tell this story. Are you ready?
Yes.
Timothy Watkins was a lifelong outdoorsman, an expert mountain biker from Colorado Springs. He was 60 years old, but according to friends and family, he had the body and stamina of a 40-year-old.
Don't sleep on those 60-year-olds. I ride with some guys that are almost 60, and yeah, I can't keep
they're
up.
They're better than you.
And they talk a lot of shit.
They are better than you.
I knocked them into a tree. I don't care. They knocked me into a tree. I'm just talking shit.
He was a staple figure in the mountain biking community of Palmer Lake, Colorado. And from everything I've read, he basically created the entire scene there. So Tim built and maintained many of the area trails, as well as created a trail map that served as the Fat Tire Mountain Biker's Bible for anyone visiting the area for a bike trip. On September 15th, 2017, about 10 a.m., Tim's wife Ginger called Old Town Bike Shop, where Tim had worked as a bike mechanic. She asked if anyone had seen him because she hadn't seen him for about 24 hours at this point. She told his coworkers when she got home from work last night, Tim and his cherished custom-built Tessier bike. So I don't know if that's special.
Tessier?
T-E-S-S-I-E-R.
I don't know. That must be something.
But it's a custom-built bike that he cherished very much.
Oh, it's custom. Yeah, those things. Bikes are very expensive, especially now. I have a quick mountain bike story about, if I would have known you were doing this, I'd have a little more details. But there's a thing going around now where people are getting stuck up at trails.
Very interesting that you
said
for
their
this.
Bikes.
Oh.
Because these bikes, the cheapest one that's like trail worthy nowadays is like $3,000, and they go in excess of $10,000, $12,000, $13,000, $15,000. So people are going to the trailhead where some of these guys meet and robbing bikes and taking like 5-6 of them. And on average, I'd say most mountain bikers that are like serious about it, the bikes cost about $5,000 if you average high low. So if you take 5 bikes, that's $25,000 worth of bikes. And this is something that's going on.
Wow, that's really scary.
Yeah, you ain't taking my bike. I'll stab the shit out of you.
Yeah, you guys.
I got my Leatherman in my pocket when I'm riding because it's like a tool and a knife.
I know. That's really scary. And throughout this story, there are things throughout this story that just really freaked me out when I think about you being out on a trail, either with a group or by yourself. Sometimes you go mountain biking by yourself. You're literally out in the middle of nowhere, and sometimes your phone doesn't even work. You have no service. So as I tell this story, you will see like how, as I was researching it, how freaked out I got.
I don't really go by myself anymore because I hear noises, and I always think there's a monster in the top of the trees following me.
Oh, God.
I get scared. And it could be like a chipmunk. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, in the Bronx, we ain't scared of people. Damn critters.
Yeah. So Ginger got home the night before after work, and she sees that Tim and his cherished bike, his custom-built bike, were gone. But see, Tim had horrible night vision. So she knew he wasn't riding this late. This is like 8-9 o'clock at night. She knew he wasn't out riding because he can't see very well at night.
Me neither.
So she thought, this is weird, but she rationalized it with, okay, maybe he went to O'Malley's pub and grabbed a beer after his ride, because that's something that mountain bikers like to do as well. You guys like to get beer after rides. So the two had not been getting along lately. They were kind of going through a rough patch, and they were a bit distant from one another. So like with us, when you and I aren't getting along, we like to say we're not best friends right now, or we're not friends right now. We say that a lot to each other. So at this time, the two of them weren't friends, as we would say. Over the last few months, they were like two passing ships in their home. She decided to go to bed because she just finished a 12-hour shift and she needed to wake up early and do another one. But when she woke up at 6 a.m. on September 15th, she became a bit more freaked out because her husband still wasn't home. So Tim grew up in Palmer Lake, and he knew the area like the back of his hand. His brother says that he was always a daredevil, like one of those kids in your group of friends that would always be the first one to just ride down this steep hill full speed, unfazed by the risk. That's the kind of guy Tim was. So throughout his 20s, he moved all over Colorado, and he actually worked in ski patrol. And I didn't know this because I've never skied. I've only done snowboarding once. But I didn't know that ski patrol is people who provide medical aid, search and rescue, hazard prevention. Like, they work on the slopes and they help people when they get injured or rescue them when they're stuck.
They're like a snow nurse.
Yeah, like that. Like, it's like a, it's like an EMT, but on the slopes.
Yeah.
And they wear like a vest with a red cross on it.
The injuries they see must be nuts.
Must be nuts.
Everyone breaks. That's why I don't ski, just because, like, I had torn ACL, like, and I'm not, I want to try it, but I'm like, eh, I don't feel like sliding out underneath me and tearing my knee again.
Yeah, no, it's not, it's too scary. So, you know, this is what Tim did all through his 20s. So it just kind of gives you an indication of the type of guy he was. Very outdoorsy, loved risks. That's what he, it was, he was an adrenaline junkie, clearly.
He's living the life I want to live. Just like, be outdoors, make podcast, and show your butt on OnlyFans.
So now, while he was working on the slopes, he was all the while perfecting his mountain bike craft and learning how to become a mountain bike or a bike mechanic. Eventually, Tim moved back to Palmer Lake and he settled down with his first wife and had two kids. This marriage didn't last, but he remained incredibly close and involved with his kids. Then in 2000, Tim fulfilled one of his lifelong dreams and he opened up his own bike shop.
Yes.
It was the only bike shop in the town of Monument, Colorado. Unfortunately, though, as we see in like many instances of people who are super passionate about something, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're good business people. Yeah. So Tim classically over-delivered and undercharged for his customers because he loved mountain biking and he wanted everybody to be into it.
I just wanted to get people in bikes. I'll give you a deal on this.
Yeah, like, he was one of those guys.
And everyone probably loved him because he gave deals. But then that's why if a friend ever has a business, I never ask for a discount.
Never.
And even if, like, I have a friend that opens a bar, I don't even want a drink for free. Like, I come into places to pay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody should do the same. Like, your friend has a business, like, pay top dollar extra for their stuff. Support everyone, man. We all got to support each other.
Don't expect discounts, especially when it's a friend or family member who's trying to, you know, build a business for themselves. You know, he wanted everyone to love mountain biking, so his business wasn't very successful. He continued riding and building trails in his spare time, and friends say that no one built more trails than Tim. His bike shop eventually closed its doors, which led to a lot of tension and an eventual divorce from his second wife. But Tim continued working as a bike mechanic for a bunch of local shops in the area, so he kind of bounced around and
What year was this?
This was the year 2000 when he had his when he had his bike shop. But then it closed.
Okay, so I was just trying to figure it out because mountain biking kind of didn't get popular until later on because the bikes were kind of shit back in the day. It was like just like road bikes that people kind of beefed up in certain ways or put a flat bar on it. And
yeah.
But 2000, they were good, decent bikes.
Well, in 2014, Tim reconnected with a childhood friend, Ginger. She was going through a lot at the time. And within a matter of a couple years, she lost her sister to diabetes, her father to cancer, her son to suicide, and then her brother to cancer.
Damn.
She was incredibly depressed, and Tim picked up on that. Ginger said that she worked six night shifts a week as a radiology tech, so she did six 12-hour shifts a week.
What?
Yes.
I got it. What's six times 12?
I don't know.
Me neither. I think 72, maybe? Let me see. Hey, Siri, what's 6 times 12? I couldn't find the calculator.
6 times 12 is 72.
Okay, so
okay,
she
I couldn't
was
find the calculator.
She was working 72 hours a week. She had just gone through all this stuff, and Tim, you know, she said he would just come over her house and, like, fix things in her house. She would wake up from sleeping, and he'd be shoveling her driveway. Like, he just really wanted to take care of her. She didn't ask for these things. He just knew she was struggling and he wanted to help.
Sounds like a good dude.
Yeah, this is the type of man that Tim was. And that's why I told you a lot about his background, because I want you to get a feeling for who this person is.
Outdoor people tend to be like good dudes that are in touch with nature. They tend to move a little slower.
A little more gentle.
Yeah, gentle. Like if you meet someone in the woods, they mm-hmm. normally talk a little slower. They're very helpful.
Yeah.
Like on the mountain bike trails, normally if somebody's like on the side of the trail, like looking at their bike, everyone asks, hey, you all right? Mm-hmm. And I do it because like everyone else does it. But I always want them to say, no, like, I'm fine. If they said,
you're such a jerk.
If they said, I need help, I would just say,
no, you would not. You're so full of it.
I'm like, oh, I don't have nothing else.
You would help. Don't even lie.
I would help. But I'm like, God damn it. I got shit to do, bro. Make sure your bike works when you get out here.
So Ginger was a recreational mountain biker, not nearly as skilled as Tim. And after a few months, he asked her to go for a ride with him. She says she was like super intimidated by this because he's so well known in the community, but she went anyway. Tim took her on the easier trails, and then he started helping her kind of hone in on these intermediate skills, and he was super patient. Ginger says like over the course of that year that these two reconnected, Tim brought her back to life.
It's the woods, bro.
The two were deeply in love. So they ended up getting married in 2015, and they moved to this gorgeous area of Colorado called Crested Butte. And I've never heard of it before, but I looked up pictures. So gorgeous.
Yeah, I heard it's a butte.
It's a butte. They lived there for about a year, and then they returned back to Palmer Lake. So after returning home in 2016, Tim began to struggle a bit emotionally. He had dealt with bouts of depression in the past, like mainly due to him feeling like an inadequate partner. Tim had one skill, and he was a master at it. Biking, however, it's just not very lucrative. It wasn't lucrative for him.
Yeah, like even if you're a professional, like that's so short-lived, like they're not like rich, and he's not even a professional.
No.
He could be like a bike mechanic in a shop. And
well, that's what he was. I told you. He bounced around.
Yeah, you can make a living wage, yeah, but you're not.
It's not super lucrative. And he had one failed business under his belt, and working as a bike mechanic, it just wasn't paying great. So he started getting really depressed because he felt like he wasn't, you know, adequate enough as a partner. But now he's older. He's now close. He's pushing 60. And damn, what are you going to do at this point? Like, is he going to go back to school? So Ginger was mainly the one who was making, she was like the breadwinner. She was working 6 12-hour shifts a week.
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of envy someone like that, that chased their dreams their whole life and lived happy. And I battle with that myself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I work a ton so I could have a decent living and a retirement. But I kind of envy the people also that live free. But then you see someone like that when they get older, now they're sad about it. Like, God damn, I didn't do enough.
Yeah, like they didn't prepare enough.
Like, where's the balance?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't have a balance. I'm a slave to work. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have a balance where he's just living his life free, carefree, and having a great time.
Yeah.
So like, where is that balance? And that's
nursing. Nursing is a great balance.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
And Jess complains about her three
12-hour shifts a week. I mean, it's a good balance.
I hope they make you work more.
Shut up. So he bounced from shop to shop based on seasonal needs, but it wasn't steady work. Between the money struggles, stress, and feelings of inadequacy, Tim sunk deeper and deeper into a hole. To make matters worse, he began suffering cognitively as well with memory loss. It was embarrassing to him. So this hell is something, yeah, that really affected him. He sustained multiple concussions throughout his lifetime, and he failed to protect his head many times.
Oh, he didn't wear a helmet.
As a kid. And doctors told him with multiple concussions and a past traumatic brain injury, this is what was causing the memory loss. So it wasn't Alzheimer's, but it was definitely, you know, a problem with his brain.
It was CTE.
Yeah. So 2 weeks before Tim disappeared, his son Isaac, who is now an adult, spent the day with his dad. They were out on the trails riding, and then they came home and drank a few beers and watched a movie. And Tim told Isaac, look, if it wouldn't have been for you spending the day with me today, I don't know that I wouldn't have taken my own life.
Oh my God.
And Isaac got super worried. He told his father to promise he would never kill himself. And Tim like immediately apologized. And he said, I know, I shouldn't even say that. I'm sorry.
No, but you should say it if you feel that way so someone could help you. Then you'd be like, Dad, we could fucking ride every day after work. Relax.
Yeah.
Like, I'll ride with you all the time. Let's get out and live free. And
yeah.
But that's tough because he's losing his marbles a little bit.
So for about a
week. That reminds me of the dude from Hook. Remember the old dude?
Yeah.
And he lost his marbles. And he's like, I found my marbles.
I know. Aw. So sad. That was a good movie, Hook.
Yeah.
So for about a week, Tim wasn't sleeping at home because there was a lot of tension in his marriage at this point. He was sleeping in his car, at the bike shops, on friends' couches. But the day before he disappeared, he called his wife and he asked Ginger if he could come home. He said, you know, he wanted to save his marriage. He loved her and he just really wants to make this work. Can I please just come back home? I don't want to keep being tense and being like two ships passing. Like, let's work on this. And she said, of course, you big goofy redhead, get your butt home.
They were both red?
No, he was a redhead. She wasn't red.
Then why is she Ginger?
So the following morning, September 14th, was Ginger's 52nd birthday. She got up early for work and Tim woke up with her and he hugged her before she left. They made plans to go out, you know, the following weekend and really spend time together for the weekend for her birthday and try to like become friends again and get on the same page. So she left for work. Tim got ready to go for a ride. And Tim spoke to a friend around 11 a.m. who he accidentally butt-dialed while he was on the trail. Based on this phone call, police determined Tim left for his ride at around 10:30, 10:45 a.m. So Ginger got home from work around 8 p.m. to find that Tim and his bike were gone, like I said in the beginning of the story.
And the bike wouldn't be gone unless he went to a trail.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most mountain bikers also won't ride their bikes on the street because our tires are expensive and you don't want to wear them out on the street. You'll have like a bike you ride in the street.
Okay.
Because those tires nowadays are about damn near $100.
Yeah, no, that is expensive. So it wasn't until Ginger called the Old Town bike shop the next morning where Tim was supposed to report to work and he wasn't there. That's when she really started to panic because she said, you know, he bounces from job to job as a bike mechanic, but when he's scheduled to be somewhere, he's there. He's not like an unreliable person. So Ginger called the Palmer Lake Police Department, but they didn't initiate a search right away. Tim was a 60-year-old man, and police said maybe he left on his own, despite the fact that Ginger told them, made it very clear that he'd been suffering from memory loss. Which I find a little weird because if you, like, we have this thing called Code Silver in the hospital. And if it's an old person.
Silver Fox out on the loose.
Well, old person goes missing. It's called a Code Silver. And it's because sometimes they have memory loss or dementia or Alzheimer's and they're just out wandering around. And that's really scary.
But his is a Code Red because he has red hair.
Yeah, well, that's true. This would be a code
like
red.
Like Stranger Things. It was like Code Red, just been making me binge Stranger Things.
So Ginger turned to social media and posted that Tim was missing. And by Saturday morning, the bike community, they like totally mobilized. Literally and figuratively mobilized.
Yo.
Because they love him. I mean,
bike dudes stick together.
He's a staple in this community. And as you know, like being in the bike community, you guys just have a thing. And if one of your biking friends disappeared or went missing, you'd all grab your bikes and be out on the trails searching.
Except maybe there's like one annoying guy.
Oh, stop. So many people set out on foot and on wheels to search for Tim. At this point, the police search and rescue got involved in the effort because now it's been a couple days. They posted it on social media and police were like, all right, let's get involved.
It took too long.
So his son Isaac says he kept replaying their conversation in the back of his head. Would Dad go back on his promise? Like, would he actually kill himself? He didn't rule it out. He told law enforcement about their convo. And he said, you know, he may not want to be found easily, honestly, if he actually went through with this. So they were looking in some really obscure places for Tim. Everyone was speculating. Did he sustain an injury and couldn't move somewhere out on the trails? Was he attacked by a bear or mountain lion?
Because dude, they're very out there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're prevalent out, especially Colorado.
Look up on YouTube, bear chases mountain biker. This guy's on his mountain bike. He gets off his mountain bike and runs into the woods and lets the bike just go straight. Like, there's a lot of, like, crazy shit.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, if I recall correctly, I think the bear kept going with the bike.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's so scary. I can't even imagine. Well, Tim had had an incident with a mountain lion that actually jumped over his head from tree to tree while he was riding on a trail one day.
That's like me. Remember I said something's in the tree above me, yeah. A monster.
Well,
don't got those here, though.
No.
We might have a chupacabra from Puerto Rico. There's a lot of Puerto Ricans in the Bronx.
Well, in Colorado, it could have been a mountain lion. So people are speculating, you know, injury, animal. And, you know, these are really real threats for mountain bikers. So a lot of people were out there searching for
them. Legitimate. Like, these. Think about a cat. You know what I mean? Like, if you move your finger back and forth enough, mm-hmm. they move their head. It's going back and forth. And next thing you know, they bite your damn finger, them little devils.
Yeah, it's like a gigantic cat who's going to eat you.
And you can't save yourself.
So a group of people in the search found a bike shoe at 2 p.m., it was about 3 feet from a beer can that was standing upright on Mount Herman Road.
That's him.
Which led to Tim's favorite trail called Limbaugh Canyon Trail. Everyone knew this was Tim's favorite trail. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, as you guys know, this has literally been the hardest year of our lives. 2023 really kicked us in the ass, and it has been tough, I'm not going to lie. I've spoken many times about the fact that I started therapy in 2020 after COVID, and it has been life-changing for me. I don't think I could have gotten through this year as well as I have without the tools that I learned and gained through my therapy sessions. Russ and I are a prime example that life throws curveballs. And if you're in a place right now where you feel like you need some tools that could help you deal with any curveballs that are thrown your way, I highly suggest you give therapy a try. Over the last year, we've partnered with BetterHelp to give you 10% off your first month. So head over to betterhelp.com/wifeofcrime1 to get 10% off. You can use promo code wifeofcrime1. And like I said, give it a try. See if you like it. It's all completely online. You just answer a questionnaire and they will match you with a therapist, and you can change therapists at any time. BetterHelp.com/wifeofcrime1, promo code wifeofcrime1.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ginger confirmed that this was her husband's shoe, a size 42 Pearl Izumi.
I know Pearl Izumi. I don't know what size 42 is because that's European and I don't use the Imperial system.
Well, that was Tim's shoe and she confirmed it. But Ginger told police that Tim had disfigured feet from an accident that happened years ago, and his feet were incredibly sensitive. So he never walked outside with bare feet or in socks. And this is something that, when I read this, really reminded me of you, because you have very sensitive feet. Yeah. And you do not walk around without anything on them, especially outside.
Like, the littlest pebble will make me not scream, but I'm like, oh, like.
Exactly.
I had a dream the other day. I was walking barefoot on concrete and it was hurting.
Well, Ginger told police this and said, he can't be far because my husband doesn't walk around with no shoes
on. Carried him out.
Like, something is going on here. About 3 hours later, searchers found Tim's bike on its side. It was off the trail, completely hidden from view. The front tire was flat, and the gear that the bike was in indicated that Tim was going downhill at the time that his bike ride stopped.
Oh, so he was in like a gear that was hard that makes you go fast.
Yeah. So after finding the shoe and the bike, El Paso County Sheriff's Office added to the search with more humans as well as dogs. And by Sunday morning, the search effort was large, hundreds of people. Someone then discovered a cell phone case and a bunch of cards from Tim's wallet scattered on Mount Hermon Road. And then suddenly, to Ginger's horror, she hears the walkie-talkie radio crackle. "We need help over here where the bike was found." "What kind of help?" "We need a coroner."
They found him. Well, at least they found him.
Ginger and Isaac immediately ran as fast as they could down the mountain. Ginger began sobbing as she tried to get to Tim, but someone grabbed her before she reached the body. She then fell to her knees and started crawling towards him, but they were holding her back. And she was just sobbing like crazy. But they didn't want her near the body because they were afraid that she would contaminate the crime scene.
That's tough because you're so distraught. You want to be near your loved one.
I know, but...
But you also want justice. You know, if someone did it, you want to know what happened. If someone did hurt them, you want them to suffer the consequences.
Well, at the time, obviously, she didn't know all of this. She wasn't thinking clearly. But cops didn't want her contaminating the crime scene because, see, Tim did not kill himself. He was not eaten by a lion or a bear.
I thought it was a mountain lion.
Tim was shot 3 times with a .22 caliber rifle and buried in a shallow grave covered with branches and leaves about 40 yards off of Limbaugh Trail in an attempt to cover up the murder. This was foul play. And Tim was the first mountain biker to be murdered during a ride in the history of mountain biking.
Wow. So that brings me to something interesting. In New York, like upstate New York, I got to drive like a little hour away or something. Certain trails are closed during hunting season, but some guys still ride them.
Mm.
So there are hunters, and I've ridden these during hunting season, and you can get shot. So what happens is a lot of guys that do ride them will wear bright colored clothes so you're not mistaken for an animal.
Mm.
Like, I've only done it like twice.
Well, that scares the shit out of me. Thank you.
No, I didn't know. I met a friend there. But like you're up, the hunters are there. But now also the hunters are annoyed that you're there because you're scaring away their game. And I didn't know that. I don't know when hunting season is. I don't know if it's...
You don't know anything about hunting.
I don't know if it's duck season, wabbit season. You know what I mean? Well, so I wouldn't go if I knew.
Well...
So someone could have shot him because he scared away the animal.
Now that you say that, just listen to the rest of the story.
Who's the profiler?
So whoever killed Tim had taken his hydration pack, his jacket, his helmet, his phone, his shoe, and his socks. Tim still had a banana in his backpack, suggesting that he was murdered early on in the ride before he stopped to eat a snack.
Mm.
This literally baffled everyone that knew him. Tim had zero enemies. He was not a confrontational person at all. But this was clearly a murder scene. And on top of them trying to cover up the murder by burying his body, they also took all of these things from him. So lots of theories emerged about what happened to Tim. One theory is, like you said, that Watkins was accidentally shot, and whoever did this hid the body for fear of getting caught. For decades, this area has had a lot of issues with sports shooters. So it's not hunters, they're sports shooters.
Oh, they like shooting targets. Maybe they put something on a tree or something.
Yeah, they just go out and start shooting their guns.
Yeah, but I also could imagine like the hunters getting angry and shooting him on purpose, like you're scaring away my game.
But there's no hunting here. This isn't a hunting place. This is just where sports shooters shoot.
Yeah, but just because you're not supposed to hunt there, they could still be looking for deer. Like I see deer on trails all the time.
That's true.
I have a friend that got hit by a deer crossing the trail. He knocked him right off his bike. You know what everyone did?
Mm.
They laughed at him. No one asked if he was okay.
So for decades, this area had a lot of issues between the sports shooters and the trail hikers and bikers. And it really created a divide in the community. Gun laws are way less strict in Colorado. And this area was known to have a lot of people who just go out in the forest and shoot their guns for fun. There's a spot known as Shooter's Alley. It's an area with like old furniture, stuffed animals. They have targets. They have all kinds of like cans. It's called Shooter's Alley. And that's where they go and they just shoot up a bunch of shit.
I wouldn't ride there. If I knew that's just where people shoot, I wouldn't ride there.
Well, Shooter's Alley is scarily close to Tim's favorite trail, Limbaugh Trail. And it was known that while riding, bikers have had bullets like fly over their heads.
What? And they still go back?
In 2014, the Forest Service banned this area for sport shooters, but it wasn't ever enforced. That's the problem. So, like, yes, they made a ban. Yes, there's signs everywhere, but no one's actually out there patrolling it. So friends of Tim say that he hated having to deal with the shooters, and he wasn't a fan of guns, but they have seen him confront shooters many times on the trail.
No, don't do that.
And Tim was always very nice and friendly. He would approach the gun owners and he would say like, hey guys, I don't mind guns and I want you to enjoy your guns, but just know there's a bike trail down here and people are riding. If you could just shoot with a backstop. And friends say that every time the exchanges were never tense. People would just apologize, take their guns and go to another area. And it was always very amicable.
Yeah, but there's always that redneck with chewing tobacco in his mouth. And it's like underneath his little gum right there. And it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll like spit and like, I shoot where I want, son. Like that. Like,
okay. So in general, the tension was growing. Even though Tim has never had a problem with a shooter ever in the past, it was growing between bikers and shooters. Despite the ban, it wasn't enforced. So you have people having to confront other people with guns, telling them to leave the area, which sadly made for a very tense environment between the two groups. So this area of Colorado is very conservative. To this day, many bikers either don't ride Limbaugh Trail.
I wouldn't.
Or they ride armed.
So what are you going to, you in the wild, like that's, I understand you're armed, but if someone's shooting a target and they missed and they hit you, you already been shot. So what, you're going to limp over and shoot them back?
No, I think they ride armed so that when they do have to confront someone who has a gun, and if this person is aggressive, they feel safer because they also have a gun. I think that's why.
That's stupid. I understand it's stupid that you shouldn't have to confront these people if this is a designated bike area,
mm-hmm.
but there should be a designated shooting and a designated bike area so everyone could be safe.
Well, unfortunately, people don't follow rules. So a lot of people believe Tim was killed by one of these sport shooters, and this upped the tension between the two groups even more, obviously. For a long time, there was a sign left on a tree in Shooter's Alley challenging Tim's killer to a fight. The sign read, "Leave a date, time, and location. Let's finish this up. You will not win. This is not your mountain. This is our mountain. This is Tim's mountain."
Wow.
Another theory is Tim may have been murdered by a man named Daniel Nations. Okay? So about 8 days after Tim's body was found, police received phone calls from a few people that were in like the search effort, saying that they noticed a red car with Indiana license plates driving all around the area where they were searching and like constantly driving in circles, passing it by multiple times throughout the 2-day search. Daniel Nations is like just overall a giant scumbag piece of shit. He's a registered sex offender. He has a seriously long record. And police in a town nearby arrested Nations on weapons charges. So while in custody, they also charged him with felony menacing after he, listen to this, he laid logs on a trail in the middle of a dirt trail where dirt bikers ride. He laid logs in the middle of it so that they could either crash or have to stop. And then when a dirt biker stopped, he came after them with a hatchet.
What?
Yes. So he's a scumbag piece of shit.
He's a killer. So did he hit any of these people with the hatchet?
No, he didn't hit them. They got away.
Listen, this guy's still alive. You need to stop talking shit about this guy.
He's free too. So while in custody, police confiscated.
He come to the Bronx. He get all his smoke though. Don't come looking for us.
So while in custody, police confiscated his car, which was red with Indiana plates.
He definitely has a car that can't drive far, so he wouldn't even make it to New York. He sounds like a bum.
Well, so this car is the same car that was circling the search party and was making people really weirded out. Like, why are you driving around here so much?
Yeah, with rusted quarter panels and shit.
When they opened up the car and searched it, they found a hatchet as well as a .22 caliber rifle, the same caliber that killed Tim. Sadly, though, the bullet that was found inside Tim's body was like too far gone to be able to match it to the exact bullets in Nation's gun.
I heard that's not an exact science either.
Well, that's,
you know, we all listen to a podcast or two.
They just know it was the same type of bullet.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's not like a fingerprint. Like, your gun is going to send out something that's like a fingerprint.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Nation's name may sound familiar to our listeners because he is also a suspect in an extremely well-known crime, Russ. And it's a sad, very sad case out of Delphi, Indiana, called the Delphi Murders. Have you ever heard of that one?
I think I heard of Delphi Murders, but I don't know.
You don't know the details. Two young friends named Abby and Libby, they were only 13 and 14 at the time they were murdered. They were found murdered on a hike, on a popular hiking trail in their small town. And what makes that case so tragic and frustrating is that due to the fact that Libby was quick thinking and super smart, she snapped a bunch of photos of the man that was following them on the trail. And she even recorded a Snapchat video, well, multiple Snapchat videos, but one of them that was released to the media has the man saying, "Get down the hill." So you can look it up and you hear in her Snapchat video the recording of the man telling the girls, "Get down the hill."
Wow.
So that case is super crazy. And Daniel Nations, this guy, the hatchet dude with the red car, was a prime suspect in that case back in Indiana.
That sounds interesting. Has this person been found that made them go down the hill?
No.
Oh, so this is unsolved.
Yes. So Nations has been investigated for that crime because he's from Indiana. He's a sex offender. He also likes to jerk off in public, which is gross AF. Daniel Nations has an incredibly violent history. When comparing his face to the composite sketch in the Delphi case, it is eerily similar. I'm going to show you right now. Hold on. I have to show you.
Yeah, look it up. But I've also seen what's that called? Composite sketch. Did you ever see the composite sketch of the Night Stalker? It looks like the dude from Mad TV that says, "Look what I could do."
No,
like,
you have
this
to
This is
see
why they
this.
Never found. They'll draw a South Park cartoon and they'll be like, "Oh, look." And I'm like, "Wait, that's Cartman. Every sketch looks like Cartman."
Yeah, but this one, let me show you. All right, here it is. Now that's similar.
See, I never seen a sketch like this. They normally look like Eric Cartman.
Well, it's a good sketch, and that looks like that dude. Like, a lot.
Yeah. You know what? It's just, what they did get is the, like, no lips, and, like, just as Botox, so that dude could do a lip flip, probably. I heard about lip flips.
But how crazy, though?
No chin.
All right.
The nose. Nose a little off, but it's all about the chin. Yo, and his eyes are so far apart, his peripheral vision is nuts. That dude could look behind him.
So, both the cases of Tim Watkins and the Delphi murders are still unsolved. And Daniel Nations denies involvement in both of them. So, when it comes to Tim's family, they were assured by police, after he was arrested and they investigated him, they were assured that Daniel Nations, you know, police didn't believe he was involved in Tim Watkins' death. The town of Palmer Lake still has no answers. But since Tim's helmet, his shoe, his socks, his hydration pack, and his cell phone have never been recovered, it means someone somewhere has them. Someone somewhere knows something.
You know, because all that equipment isn't cheap. Like, everything's about $100. You get a nice helmet, got to spend $100.
What does that have to do with it? What I'm saying is whoever killed him has those things.
Me too. That's why I'm saying they probably didn't throw them away. You don't take the helmet and his hydration pack to hide that he was killed and leave the body. We all know that he's been killed. So that doesn't make any sense.
So then why do you think they took it?
Because the stuff is expensive and they wanted to use it.
No, I don't think they... Well, so do you think it was a mountain biker that killed him, possibly? Another mountain biker?
No, it was a hunter. Or not a hunter. The shooting dude.
A sport shooter.
Yeah.
You think that? You don't think it was Daniel Nations? Even though he had a .22 caliber rifle in his car?
It could be him.
And he was the prime suspect of the Delphi murders, one of the prime suspects. And he was in Colorado at the time, and he was circling the search party.
That could be him. But I also,
and he's a scumbag piece of shit?
It's probably him. No, I think they took the stuff. Taking the stuff has nothing to do with hiding anything that happened. That doesn't make sense.
My point is that someone has the stuff. To this day.
So you think
why? To this day! Someone has the stuff.
Who said that? Deontay Wilder.
To this day, someone has the stuff for us. And
maybe not. Maybe they threw it away.
Someone knows something. Someone has his cell phone. Maybe they threw it away. But what's really sad about this is that it's unsolved, that Tim's family is still wanting justice, that this case is not very well known, not really out there. Like I said, only some outdoors magazines and mountain bike people in the community have covered it. Like, it's bigger in mountain biking community than the true crime community. And since all of his stuff was missing, someone has it and someone knows something. And they're walking around, chilling.
Definitely. The person who killed himself.
It's scary to know that.
How'd you find out about this case?
I found it on Reddit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everything's on Reddit.
Well, that's the tragic murder of Tim Watkins, the first mountain biker to be killed while on a ride.
And I wanted an answer.
What?
I wanted an answer of who killed him.
Oh, I know. Unsolved cases suck like that. So that's the whole point of me doing this story, is I wanted to bring awareness to this case. Because someone has answers out there. They're alive. They're walking around. They have it. Maybe someone in Colorado will listen to our podcast, and maybe someone will tell someone else to listen, and that person will listen, and they'll be like, oh, shit. They know that I have Tim Watkins shit because I killed him.
You know what I got out of this case?
Hmm.
If I ever go to Colorado, hit you up. Like, yo, what was that guy, that trail that Tim rode on? I can't ride on it. There's shooters out there.
The Limbaugh Trail.
Yeah, don't ride on that.
I think Daniel Nations could have been involved in both of these killings, in the Delphi murders and in this case. I could totally see that he'd be involved in both.
Me too.
I mean, he's in both places when they happened. He's violent. He has all this whole history. Like, I could totally see him being the person.
I could see it. I can't say it's him or not him. I could see it. I would need to get a little more information on him. But, you know, he's out there and alive, so now I probably can't go to Colorado because I spoke shit about his little upper lip.
Well, he lives in Indiana now, I think. He's back in Indiana.
Oh, don't know want to go to Indiana. I don't know what goes on over there. Shout out to all listeners in Indiana.
So anyway, hopefully one day, you know, they'll get some awareness about this case, or justice will be served for Tim Watkins. This case really hit close to home for me because of you being a mountain biker, and it just kind of like freaked me out a little bit. And now that you tell me that you ride on trails where there's hunters, really scary. I really hope that you don't do that anymore.
It made me very uncomfortable. My friend said, oh, I want to ride. So this is how it goes. Your friends text you, hey, we want to ride this trail tomorrow, 909, whatever it's called. I'm like, oh, sure, I'll meet you there. And this was my first time, and I saw hunters like hiding and shit. You know, they wear their camouflage and shit. And I was like, oh, damn, it's like hunting season?
Hmm.
But it says trails closed until this point. So, you know, we're from the Bronx. Some dudes is rebels. They don't give a shit. But now they have houses upstate with nice little pools in them.
Yeah.
You know, that's our dream as Bronx dudes. We just want a house. We call it upstate. As long as you're not in the Bronx, you're upstate. With an in-ground pool. And then, like, look, mama, I made it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, I just found this story really sad because Tim was such a big staple in the community in mountain biking. And I know that like that community is very close. Like it seemed like you guys all have like this culture about it's like a culture.
Yeah, we spend too much money on shit that's not that important.
Well, he was a huge part of that community. He made this map for all these, you know, people to come and ride.
Like you have that map that you use to hike all the trails in New York. What's that website?
Hike the Hudson Valley.
That's where we find all
our
the
Hudson
hikes.
Valley hikes. Yeah, it's a guy who just made a website on his own of all the the Hudson Valley hikes. And similar to Tim's story, he was just so passionate about it. And like, I just wanted to bring this story to more people's attention because I thought that it was sad and it's important to know. And it's crazy that he was the first mountain biker to be murdered on a ride.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All right, folks.
All right, well.
I got something to say.
What?
Wifeofcrime.com. We got some dope-ass merch.
Well, we also are on Instagram at Wife of Crime Pod and Facebook at Wife of Crime, the Crime Family, and Patreon at Wife of Crime Pod. All right, everybody. Well, have a wonderful week. We will talk to you later. Bye.
Peace.